How do you do? How do people with great determination get off course in life? Well, the man in this story made a decision to go a certain way and then walked in the opposite direction for 6 years. Was that confusion or lack of will? You decide. You'll be glad to know that he's back on course ever since his mind and heart and life were unshackled. This is Unshackled, the longest-running radio drama in history. True life stories produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Darkness covers the homeless, and we don't see them sleeping under bridges or among the brush in parks. Folks at Pacific Garden Mission don't look away. They stand outside the mission looking for the disconsolate, inviting them inside for a meal, fresh clothing, and a place to sleep, even medical and dental care if needed. There's no charge for anything at the old lighthouse in Chicago, thanks to friends who send financial gifts. Counselors and pastors reveal the light of the world, the one who offers new life. Many respond to that offer, and they can say, "The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Now, for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3028 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
My life wasn't always this peaceful, Mark.
Hmm?
7 years ago, when I was a junior in high school, I had panic attacks. I'd curl up in a ball and shake uncontrollably. Couldn't sleep, couldn't concentrate.
Why?
My best friend was killed car surfing.
Oh, good grief.
Yeah, we came along minutes later, and he was barely alive. So I performed CPR on him till the ambulance came.
Oh, I've heard of kids doing that. I can't imagine why they do it.
He stood up on a moving car, and he fell headfirst onto the pavement.
Oh.
His face was all but scraped away, and his head was cracked slightly open. I was covered with his blood doing CPR. He died at the hospital.
Must have been traumatic for you.
Was it ever? I'd see his face on other people's faces. They said it was post-traumatic stress disorder.
Did you get counseling?
Oh, yeah. The counselor wanted to put me on meds, but I refused. My mother kept telling me to talk with her pastor, so I finally did. I told him the whole story. You know the first thing he asked?
Huh?
If you were to die as suddenly as your friend did, would you go to heaven?
Good question. Today, the man in this story can answer that question with confidence. But then, his life was in turmoil. This is the story of how he regained his peace. It's the conclusion of the true testimony of Chris DiGiacomo right now on Unshackled.
I had just graduated from high school when I received Christ as Savior. 2 months later, I went off to a New Hampshire State College, determined to serve God. I had financial aid and also worked, but I didn't have a car. So I went to a campus ministry that met Tuesday evening. Several times a month, I called Mom.
How are classes, Chris?
Doing fine.
Are you still going to that ministry on campus?
Well, no. I quit.
Why?
But we had fellowship at various homes, and I noticed that some of the couples were living together outside of marriage. I don't know much about Christianity, but that doesn't seem right to me.
No, it isn't.
Everyone else seemed to accept it, but I can't.
So what are you doing for fellowship, son?
Don't worry, Ma. I joined a fraternity. Distancing myself from that church group was a good decision, but joining a fraternity was not. I was lonely, and they welcomed me. But soon I was involved in ungodly activities. I'd think about my friend's death, and I'd drink too much. And the things of God slipped into the background. Mom and Dad had divorced when I was 10, but I called my dad several times a month, too. Mom was saved, Dad was not.
So, what are you taking this semester, Chris?
The usual, biology and chemistry. And an Old Testament survey course.
What does that have to do with health science?
Well, it's an elective, going through each book of the Old Testament.
Yeah, sounds irrelevant.
The instructor says you can't take the Bible literally.
I never thought you could.
I did once. Who knows what to believe?
Believe in yourself, Chris. That's how to make it in life.
I became president of the fraternity, and as I led others into sinful activities, my troubles ballooned. Whenever campus police were called, they sought me, but I wasn't helpful, so they tried to get me in trouble for underage drinking. I was also at odds with some of the faculty. God was chastening me, but I didn't really understand what was happening. During my fifth year of college, I met a sorority girl named Jennifer.
Women have as much right to lead as men.
Oh, hey, I'm big into women's rights, too.
Really?
Yeah. I believe every woman has a right to cook me dinner, do my dishes, and clean my laundry.
Yeah? You have a right to get out of my house.
Nice meeting you, too. I saw Jennifer a few times at parties, but we didn't get along at all. Then one day, I said something very derogatory to her, and it made her cry. I felt bad, and I apologized, and after that, we became friends. A few months later, someone in her family died, and she was very upset.
I know that God hates me.
No, that isn't true, Jen. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for you.
I know about Jesus, but he and God are different.
I can't explain it all, but I know that I learned a verse that says that it is God's love that sent Jesus to die for us. I wish I knew more about the Bible, but the more I sought the right way, the more I became more and more confused.
I know for sure that God hates me. Why else would he allow all these bad things to happen to me?
What bad things?
My father left us when I was 11. I haven't seen him in more than 10 years.
My dad left us when I was 10, so I know how that feels. One day after he left us, I sat in school and I just cried, thinking that I'd never see him anymore. But it worked out okay. I got to see him once a week.
Lucky you.
Life's not always easy, Jen.
You're telling me? My mother and stepfather don't really care for me. They just tolerate me. I feel that they care about themselves much more than they do me.
Maybe you should go to church. That's what my mom keeps telling me.
I feel out of place no matter where I go. Besides, why would I go to church when I know God hates me?
We started dating in January. In the spring, Jen met my mother for the first time. Mom and my stepdad, Joe, divorced, and after a few years, she met a man at a church and they were getting married. Jen went to the wedding with me, and from then on, whenever I visited Mom, Jen went with me.
Jennifer stayed up late with me, asking all kinds of questions about the Bible.
Again? She did that last time we visited.
Well, apparently she was troubled by the wedding, where the pastor talked about a wife's submission to her husband.
She's big on women's lib.
Oh, she just needs to be saved. God made everyone and everything with a specific purpose. The birds and the fish are different, but they perform God's purposes. The woman and the man are no different. We were all made for God's purpose, and when we are born again, he teaches us our role in life.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
You need to find a good church to attend?
I've been too busy with school and work.
I keep praying for you, Chris.
Thanks, Ma. Pray for my finances. I just got a letter that said my financial aid has run out. I have to pay for the next semester on my own.
But you've already graduated.
Yeah, but still have to do student teaching to get a certification. Same fees.
The Lord will help you, Chris.
I hope so. Been one thing after another. I've had a bunch of bad luck. The 4th of July came, and I worked late at the Mexican restaurant where Jen also worked. Afterward, we both went to a big party in another town, and we stayed till around 2. Then we drove to my house. Jen went to bed, but I stayed up and talked with my roommate. Suddenly, about 3 in the morning, we heard a popping sound.
Oh, it seems to be coming from outside.
The science building? Anything's possible there.
Yeah, well, let's check it out. All that renovation they're doing.
Yeah, that is the work crew in a construction trailer.
This time of night? I don't think so.
Oh, man, look at that!
The whole trailer is on fire!
I better call 911. After I called the fire department, we stood and watched as police arrived and firemen came to put out the raging fire. And then I went to bed around 4 a.m. At 8, I was rudely awakened by firemen.
Close your windows. Close all your windows.
What's going on?
Asbestos. The trailer was full of asbestos.
As I was getting ready for work, the police came with a man who tested the air in my apartment, which turned out fine. He gave me his business card, Consulting Agency for Environmental Health and Safety. That's my field. So I called later and I asked if they were hiring. He told me to send a resume, so I did. And in September, I began working for them. 5 months passed.
I guess you're going to forget about the teaching certificate?
Yeah, I really like my job.
Well, at least you didn't have to come up with the money for tuition again.
Instead, I've saved enough money to buy a condo.
Already?
Yep. It's about a half-hour drive to work, but it'll be worth it to get out of this crummy apartment.
As soon as I graduate, I'll move in with you.
Why wait till then?
Oh, it's too far to drive to class. How soon are you moving?
As soon as I can close on the condo. I moved into my condo in January 2003. At last, I had a good job, my own home, and plenty of money. But I was miserable. I couldn't figure out why. In May, Jen graduated, got a job as an assistant store manager of a drugstore chain, and she moved in with me. We should have been happy, but we weren't. I was troubled, and Jen had a hidden desire that would change everything.
In a moment, we'll hear about that hidden desire. Someone recently wrote, "Today, while listening, I heard about a Bible study on the book of John that you have available. I would love to receive this, if possible. The weakest part of my life is Bible study, and I want desperately to change this. I know that I can't truly make a difference for the kingdom without knowing more. I want to study deeply and learn everything I can about my Lord Jesus Christ." Listening friend, this Bible study is completely free. All you need is a Bible and a pencil to begin. Write and ask, and we'll send you the first lesson that you complete in your own time and return to us. The lesson consists of questions with references to look up in your Bible. As you finish each lesson, we'll send you the next one. When you finish all 6 lessons, we'll give you a certificate. There's nothing to buy. So write and ask for the Gospel of John Bible Study Course, and you too can begin to learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ. The address is Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Please include your address.
Chris, I'd like to go to church this morning.
Do liberated women go to church?
This one will.
Well, there's one down the street we can try.
Do you know anything about it?
No, but we can find out.
Hello?
Hey, Ma. How's it going?
Just fine, Chris. How about you?
Well, Jen and I went to church this morning.
Great. I've been praying for you.
Pray harder. We're not going back there.
Why?
An older woman sat down beside Jen, and when the music started, she grabbed Jen, pulled her into the aisle, and started just talking loud. It was so weird. They never said anything about the Bible.
I'm sorry, Chris. Don't give up. I'll give you a list of ones that teach the Bible.
I looked in the phone book to find the location of churches Mom gave me. One of them was 10 minutes from my condo, so I called.
Yes, I'm the pastor.
I'm looking for a church to attend. Can you tell me about yours?
Well, if you want to hear what the Bible has to say, this is the place for you. But if you don't want to hear the Bible, then you won't like our church.
I'm looking for one where I can hear the Bible. That night, Jen and all my friends went out to a party, but I stayed home. I knew that I had to do something about my spiritual life. In the morning, Jen was too hungover to go with me to church. The pastor used a different Bible translation from mine, so I set mine aside and just listened to him preach.
The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
God doesn't save anyone because of the good things they do. According to his mercy, he saved us. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Maybe you are saved, but are you being renewed by the Holy Ghost? Are you obedient to God's word? There is nothing good in you except what God put there with his Spirit when you are born again. Even your good works are tainted with self-righteousness, impure motives. Once he saves you, then begins the process of making you into the image of Jesus. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Although there was an altar call, I didn't know what that was, so I didn't go forward. But I left under deep conviction that I needed to start serving God with my life, and I certainly needed to change my lifestyle in many ways. I arrived home at my condo, still under conviction.
Where were you?
At church.
In flip-flops and shorts?
Yes. They were very nice to me. I felt at home with them.
I wanted to go, but I was just too hungover.
Jen, it was a great sermon. I've got to start serving God.
How?
Well, to begin with, I'm going to stop drinking, and I'm going to do what God wants me to do.
Wow. Okay.
I've wandered away from God, and I've got to make things right with him. Will you pray with me?
Sure.
Let's get down on our knees, right here, by the sofa. Come on.
All right.
Dear Lord, please forgive me for living in sin all these years. You saved me, but I walked away from you because of others. Forgive me, God. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to live for you. I want to learn what's in the Bible and do what the Bible says as I learn it. Teach me, Lord. And please, help Jen give her life to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Jen, you need to meet with the pastor.
I agree.
I'll call and make an appointment. Jen and I both listened as he presented the plan of salvation. Jen prayed a prayer of repentance to God and asked him to save her. 4 days later, we were engaged, and that week, Jen moved out because we realized we couldn't live together anymore outside of marriage. A few months later, I felt compelled to visit Dad, so I drove down to the Cape to see him. We talked about baseball for a bit. Dad, I didn't come here to talk sports. I want to talk to you about your relationship with God.
Because you're my firstborn son, I feel obligated to listen.
Can we look at my Bible together?
Okay.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That includes you and me, Dad. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died for our sins. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is a gift from God, Dad. You don't earn it by going to church. And here's all you have to do to receive God's gift. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Is that it?
Yes.
Thank you, Chris.
Do you understand what the Bible said?
Yes.
Have you ever heard this before?
No, I never heard those things.
Do you believe you're a sinner?
Yeah. You know, it was my fault your mom and I got divorced.
Oh, God can forgive us for all our sins, Dad. Would you like to pray and ask God to give you new life in Jesus Christ? He wants to save you.
I don't know how to pray.
I'll help you.
No, I don't know how to pray, so I'm not going to do it.
Dad, I love you. But by your own words, if you die tonight, you'll go to hell.
I understand. Thank you for sharing the Bible with me.
In October 2003, Jen and I were married and went through a new converts class at church, which taught us so very, very much. This new life was opening up so many things that we'd never seen before. We also began teaching Sunday school to the 2 and 3-year-old children. After a few months, I went back to see Dad. I knew a few more verses and could explain them better by then. Jen was waiting to hear the results.
How did it go?
Once again, he wouldn't pray for salvation.
Oh, I'm sorry, honey.
He had tears rolling down his face, Jen. He's terminally ill with emphysema. He knows he could die and go to hell, but he wouldn't pray.
Look, you did your best, Chris.
I have a lot to learn about witnessing.
Maybe it's because you're his son.
Maybe. Well, you know, I've witnessed to guys at work, and some of them listened. Some of them mock me now. They get up and leave when I come into the break room, so I've started eating lunch by myself so I don't have to listen to them mock me.
That's cruel.
Well, they mocked Jesus, and he said we should expect the same. 2 days later, Dad went into the hospital. His lungs had failed.
What? He's on life support? Are you driving down to see him?
I can't. I'm tied up at work, and it's a 3-hour drive. Besides, he's unconscious.
Oh, Chris, he still isn't saved.
Oh, God knows all about it, Jen. All we can do is pray and ask the church to pray for him, too. For 2 weeks, the church prayed while Dad lay unconscious on life support. Then, miraculously, he came off life support and went home. I was still tied down at the job, so I called a pastor on the Cape that I knew, and he went to see him. The next day, he called me. Hello?
Chris, you'll be happy to know that your father prayed to receive Christ today.
Oh, wow. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Pastor.
My pleasure. You sowed the seeds, and God reaped the harvest.
Jen! Jen, Dad got saved.
Oh, honey, that's wonderful. Thank God.
Oh, I keep asking God to show me how he wants me to serve him. I like the soul winner class and also the Bible introduction courses at church. I like teaching Sunday school, too. But I am sure what God wants me to do next.
Is that why you go to the altar so often?
Yes. I think he wants me to be a preacher, Jen. I just don't know how. So maybe I should go to Bible college. While on a job site in Maine for several months, I got to know a client quite well. Driving in his truck one day, I shared my testimony, and I asked him the same question the pastor had once asked me. If you were to die today, would you go to heaven?
I'm not sure.
Would you like me to show you in the Bible how you can be sure?
Well, yes.
Okay. The Bible says, there is none righteous. No, not one. And the wages of sin is death. So God sent his only son to die in our place. Why? Because he loves us. And there was no other way to satisfy his justice. More than 700 years before Christ, the prophet Isaiah wrote, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So when you believe Christ died for your sins, repent and ask him to save you. At the moment of salvation, God gives you his Spirit, and you have eternal life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That man prayed to receive Christ that day. At that point, I knew God wanted me to preach his word. So Jen and I gave notice at our jobs and put the condo up for sale. We moved to North Carolina, where I started at Bible College. That first year, Joe, my stepfather, my grandfather, and my dad all died. But God comforted me with his word. I preached at my dad's funeral. My father was saved for only a year before he died, but oh, the joy that we had that year talking about Jesus. Oh, the joy of knowing that he is in heaven now, and the joy we will have someday when we see each other again. Heaven can be yours when you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 5, verse 24, he said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." After that service, a 17-year-old boy came forward to be saved. But I have lost friends because of my stand for the gospel. Our two daughters were born while I was in college, and as a senior, God once again let me know the direction he wanted me to go.
Back to Boston?
Oh, yes.
But there are lots of churches around Boston, honey.
I know, but God has called me back there to teach the inerrant word of God. We'll teach his word and nothing but his word.
I'm with you.
I graduated in May 2008. And we're preparing to move to an area a few miles from downtown Boston that has 50,000 people in 5 square miles. The Lord didn't give up on me, and he won't give up on you and your loved ones.
Listening friend, you with a broken heart who can't face another day, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and his name is Jesus. He came to give you life and life more abundantly. He came to set you free. He said, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Step into freedom today by repenting of your sins and asking him to save you. Commit your ways to God and ask him to give you a new life in Jesus Christ. If you need help in this crucial decision, let us know and we'll send you some literature to help you walk with Christ. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. This is program number 3028. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Your letter is important to us, so please write soon. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Discouraged? You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.